When you go to the doctor's office, you get a lot of questions about your safety. Do your kids wear their bike helmets? How do you store your meds? But very few doctors ask about guns, and that might have to do with what they learn in medical school. For Guns in America, Lisa Hagen reports.
It's lunchtime at Atlanta's Emory University, and about 100 medical students are busy scarfing down their meals in a lecture hall.
Thank you so much for coming today.
They're here on their own time to learn about how to talk to future patients about gun safety for 1 hour.
That was the most we've talked about it this year.
Alyssa Greenhouse is a second-year med student at Emory. She organized the lunch session because learning how to have a gun talk with patients is not a part of mandatory medical school curriculum.
We have had entire problem-based learning sessions on talking about tobacco cessation. We have to take a history with every patient, and it asks, you know, are you safe in the home? Do you wear your helmet? Do you wear your seatbelt? But we just don't talk about firearms.
Public health groups believe raising patient awareness around the risk of firearms can help reduce gun deaths. But across the country, presentations like the one at Emory only happen because students like Greenhouse volunteer to organize them. Her goal, besides graduating, is to put on 2 events like this a year. She's working with a larger group called Scrubs Addressing the Firearms Epidemic, or SAFE. It wants to make firearms injury prevention something all med students learn about. Dr. Neil Gesundheit is also with SAFE. He's in charge of med school curriculum at Stanford University. And to get at why he thinks a change is needed, he uses this example.
If you look at how much attention is given to a topic like colon cancer, there is quite a bit of curricular time that is spent on the physiology, the pathology, the prevention of colon cancer via screening methods.
He says colon cancer kills about 40 to 50,000 people a year.
Well, it turns out gun violence claims about 40,000 lives in the U.S. per year. That's the asymmetry that bothers me.
So how do you get class time on gun safety to be on par with something like colon cancer?
One way is to create a curriculum that is then transmitted from one school to the next.
He says Stanford is working on that model curriculum now, which could be ready in a couple of years. But getting it to catch on across the country, that's a decade or more of work, he thinks. Doctors like Gesundheit are confident there's a lot of support within the medical community for more training on gun injury prevention. But of course, doctors are just one half of this equation.
Can I ask you to respond as if I were a doctor?
Yeah.
Asking you, like, what would you say?
I would say it's none of your business.
Jerry Henry is with the gun rights advocacy group Georgia Carey.
The doctor's business is what's my blood pressure, what's my red cell count, my white cell count, and the rest of it should be left to me.
Henry says none of his doctors have ever asked about his plentiful access to firearms, and there isn't a ton of research on how patients actually react to those questions. One small study from more than a decade ago found that about 9% of patients are like Henry, the none of your business type. But about 70% in that survey had no problem being asked about guns. Back then. A researcher in Atlanta is hoping to follow up on that question now.
I anticipate we'll get a similar response, to be honest.
Dr. Lauren Hudak is an emergency medicine professor at Emory University. She also treats patients at Grady Hospital, where an average of 4 people a day come in with gunshot injuries. Hudak and her colleagues are doing patient surveys to learn how people feel about doctors or nurses asking about guns. And she says a crucial part of the project will be to understand more about the none of your business crowd.
Where patients feel like, that's my own choice, I can do what I want, and I don't need the doctor up in my business about that. It happens a lot in lots of clinical scenarios, like helmet safety, seatbelts, cigarettes. There's a lot of reasons people don't want to tell us things.
Hudak says pushing patients to answer questions against their will is not the goal. Nor is it to come up with an approach doctors everywhere can use.
Georgia's not the same as California, not the same as Boston. So I think it's important to do it in the healthcare setting that you're actually going to be doing the intervention work.
She's looking to have some early results by December. For Guns in America, I'm Lisa Hagen.